Hello, this is Jamie.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hello.
Is it just Z and me?
Yes.
So far.
That's correct.
Okay.
Can you mute the shofar?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, I will.
Thank you. I am expecting, well, a fairly large class, but you never know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa. Gudula Shemika
Ati Sevora
Alafekumulyudha
Sadik
Kabelinat
Amkasadvinu
Resh and Yud have a gematria of 210. 10 is the same gematria as the Hebrew word redu, meaning to go down. And it's a hint to us that Hashem has come down to assist us in our teshuvah. We need to take the first step, and He will assist us in all of the other steps. But we must take the first step. I hope you are doing that. Shabbatenu kabel. Now we're going to read four verses, one verse from the year 5774 and three verses from the year 5775. The first verse we read is Samuel Bet, chapter 7, verse 10. For anybody who's not heard this before, we will be explaining it as part of our discussion today. And the three verses from this year, starting with Job, chapter 7, verse 19. In Samuel chapter 23:23. And the third verse is from Job also, chapter 20, verse 7. And the eighth verse of the Anathoth, we say in a whisper. Now we're going to need a verse from the Zohar to bring the energy of holiness into our space. We're reading from section 12, verse 89, from the Zohar on the prologue. It's the parasha of Mitzvahim has no Zohar because it is the Malchut. It is always read the Shabbat before Rosh Hashanah, and as Malchut of Malchut, the Malchut by itself has no light of itself. And the Zohar is about light, and that's why there is no Zohar. So when that happens, we look to the prologue, because the prologue has all of the light encapsulated within it. Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konenehu. Aval abadili chawa yoreya biyama rabavihu chawa hadnuna dehawa askar yama rabavitra Dalitra da wehawa, Ravya veik V'yati rav, v'yati yomi nadechawa delai ibbila kol sha'ar Nunin diyama ulbakar apek lom chayayin v'chayamin Ma'oyan v'kol savin v'alma v'shat Yama beriga v'da v'tofeya v'apek li kegat Kedira bidat digvar tikeif betamir libehahu atar de amare lecho behutav leatrea viagnis behahu yama. He continued, but the place where my father lives is in the great ocean, and he was a fish that swam from one end of the great ocean to the other, and he was mighty and noble, a venerable figure who became wise with the years and was able to swallow up all the other fish in the sea. Then later he released them full of life and all the good of the world, and with his might he was able to cross over the entire ocean in an instant. And he released me like an arrow in the hand of a valiant man, and hid me in that place that I told you about, namely the flower that floats on air, while he returned to his home and disappeared into the ocean. My commentary. Man lives with, man lives on, and man lives because of Torah. Is what is being expressed in the concept of the great ocean, as well as the ideas of a great fish. And as we said last night when we studied this section, the tower floating in the air is referring to the letter Laman, which means teacher. And someone who lives in the Laman is someone who is studying to become wise. Are there any questions? We have promoted this class as a revelation of the energy of the year Tashin Ayin Vav 5776. Before we start, first off, I'm getting some static, so I'm asking everyone to switch on their phones, which will mute the phones, and it removes the static, so I appreciate you doing that. Thank you. And also to know that if you want to ask a question during the class, just unmute your phone by pressing *6, and I will be able to hear you. Then please, after you've asked the question or after I've answered it, please remute your phone to avoid any potential static. The one thing that I need to say before we begin. So first off, are there any questions before I begin? Okay. When one prognosticates about the future, there is a traditional statement that needs to be made in order to protect the prognosticator, which is me, and the people who read or hear about these statements. The traditional statement, which I am making at this time, is, I am not a prophet, nor am I the son of a prophet. One may now feel safe in reading or listening to what I'm going to reveal today. The handout for the class can be found very easily, and I'm going to say it slowly. Go to the yeshem.com website. On the right-hand side, underneath the two pictures, you'll find a link that says unique astrological times or events. Open up that link. And the first link on that page is a landing page for the year's energies. It's a smaller page than the full discussion that we will get to as well. But let's start with the encapsulated energy. And I am going to read, but I'm also going to ad lib, because I may have forgotten, may not have realized, I may have a new thought. So please.
Hanok, yes. I did not find the page. Would you mind telling again? I'm at unique astrological times.
It says the first link under preparation for the Tishrei holidays.
Okay. So click to scroll down to the recording.
I made a mistake. It's the second link.
Okay.
To be said, beginning 5776.
Okay, thank you.
One word summary for the verses to be said in 5776.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So this page is a recap of the energy for the years 5774, 5775, and 5776. And we say the verses that have the energy of the year within them for this year and for the two previous years. We would probably say it for earlier years, but I didn't have time to actually do the analysis for those years. So we started in 5774. And let me finish this paragraph, and then I will explain somewhat about 5774. So that we read from what's going to happen in 5776, a verse or two verses from the Tanakh. And we also read of three verses from the Tanakh for the year 5775, as we did in the Anabakoa this morning as well. And one verse from 5776. And we read these previous verses and this year's upcoming so that we gain spiritual growth this year and we do not lose the spiritual growth that we have achieved in previous years, Chas v'Shalom, as well as continuing to grow that energy that is represented by those years. The energy of each year doesn't disappear. There's no disappearance in spirituality. So by continuing to read these verses that connect to the previous year's energy, while that year is more supportive to achieve that energy, it can be achieved at any time. Just as the Mashiach can come at any time, and we need to wait for him and to help bring him or her. The Mashiach is teaching us this whole idea that the essence of any given year is carried on into the future. And it's up to us to maintain whatever level of spiritual growth we achieve during that year and to continue that growth. So as you will see, if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, and I'm not going to do so, but the energy of the year 5774 was peace in the Middle East. And that, in the month of Av of 5774, there was a war in Gaza. So what kind of peace did we achieve? And the answer is we achieved a ceasefire. Why didn't we achieve complete peace? Because there wasn't sufficient numbers of us, or not enough of us had certainty that the energy was true, that the revelation of that energy was true. For whatever reason, we achieved a ceasefire. And there's a spiritual law. Be happy with what you have and ask for more. And we still continue to say this verse so that we can achieve a full peace treaty in all of the borders of Israel, not just in the south. And I have noticed during 5775, when our Kavanah, my Kavanah, was not as intense as it needed to be, or there was a situation where I started a new class here in Atlanta, and I wasn't able to read those verses for whatever reason, I noticed that that's when the rockets would come from Sinai. And they'd be publicized in the papers. But when I started saying that verse again, the rocket stopped. The three verses in 5775 follow the following. One verse has the word Tafshin Ayin Hey, the name of the year 5775, used within it, and the word has the meaning, a connection to vision, to being able to see. Another verse has a gematria of 5775. It's the only verse in the Tanakh with that gematria. And another verse has the energy of 775, and it is the only verse in the Tanakh with that energy. And you'll come to understand the meaning of that. But what was these three verses teaching us is that, as we know, the angel of death is an illusion. And the energy of 5775 is the ability to remove the illusion of death. Now, most people will say, that's absurd. That can't happen, God forbid. They have all many different ideas, because they will say, everyone I know has died eventually. And the response to that is, no, not everyone has died, because there have been seven people who have not died and went to heaven with their bodies, whether it was Eliyahu, whether it was Moshe, whether it was the Serach Bat Yaakov or Bat Asher, the granddaughter of Jacob, who sang to him when Joseph was revealed. These seven people achieved it. One of them is Hanoch ben Yared, who I am named after. Not to say that I'm on his level, because I am very definitely not. But he was able to walk with God, and the meaning of that is that he left this earth and went to heaven with his body intact. So now, we can start to talk. Oh, I was going to explain about 5775. Everyone kind of thinks that that's not really possible to remove death. And we taught, when it came to the holiday of Shavuot in this year of 5775, the same thing we've taught in earlier years that come from the teachings of the Arizal, that if we stay up and study Kabbalistically, or attend a Kabbalistic minyan, that we should have absolutely no chaos between Shavuot and Rosh Hashanah. And then what happened? The very next day, I was taken to the emergency room. And in the course of a 3 or 4 day hospital stay, I was told to stop taking all of the blood pressure medicines that I had taken for 10 years after a heart attack that had no damage to my heart. And after I was told to stop taking all of the diabetes measures that had been diagnosed as a side effect of one of the cholesterol medicines that I was taking. They didn't check for the cholesterol, and that will be shortly. But partially, death has been removed for me. That's why I had this chaos that wasn't chaos. It was the opportunity to be able to see how the angel of death is running and hiding, trying to avoid the confrontations. Now, you can accept those statements, but as all of my students have been taught, never believe a word I say, but please try what I ask you to do and prove to yourself that it is true. So in 5774, we had the energy revealed prior to the beginning of 5774 that there would be a peace treaty in the Middle East. And then in 5775, we had the opportunity to remove death. And for some, it has been removed. And I have been saying for many, many years that as a 5-year-old, I told my mother that I would live to be at least 300 years old, which means I will live to be at least 300 more years. Now let's turn our attention to this coming year, 5776, spelled in the normal manner, Tav Shin Ayin Vav, or it can be spelled with the letters Hey, Tav Shin Ayin Vav. Normally, we don't spell it with the Hey because the Hey represents the millennium of the sixth millennium. The years 5000 to 5999. So since everybody knows we're in the sixth millennium, why do we need to say the Hey? And so normally in everyday teachings or writing of the dates, we wouldn't say the Hey. We wouldn't write the Hey. But we would utilize it in the analysis that I have done. So let's understand what it's saying. I'm continuing or starting to read where it says year 5776 on the handout. The energy of the year 5776 is a pause that refreshes. There are two verses for this year. The two links below are additional support and information for you to make your own decision about the energy of this year for you. Below are the verses to be said during this year. So please, if you want to follow along, take the second link, which is a more complete discussion. And the instructions for this year, after the seventh verse of the Ana B'Koach and before the eighth verse, each time you have six verses from the Tanakh to say. One verse from 5774, three verses from 5775, and two verses from 5776. Now I'm looking at the link for the year 5776. And the first thing after the links at the top of the page, it says the recording for the year 5776. That has not yet been put on the website and will be later today after the two classes have been recorded and they will be on the links. be available to hear again. Now I'm starting with the second paragraph. Many times I am asked by friends and students, what will the future be? What will tomorrow bring? I usually answer, we will all return to the endless world, to the end self. The only question is, will the process be shorter for you due to your using the tool called binding by striking? And some Kabbalists, modern Kabbalists, call it the restriction. Most Kabbalists in the past didn't use this term. They referred to it, but they didn't put a name to it. But Rabbi Ashlag, in his Hebrew writings, did. That was over 100 years ago. So if you're using the tool called binding by strike, the path will be shorter, hopefully. Not hopefully, it will be shorter, Baruch Hashem. Or longer, Chas V'Shalom, due to your negative actions that create the necessity of cleansing through pain and suffering and chaos. There is a deeper, stronger aspect of the tool of binding by striking also. This tool has the capability of converting your negative actions into non-existence, meaning it will be as if the negative action never happened. This is the minimum that this tool manifests. The maximum is that it converts your negative action into a positive action. Of course, this is very difficult to do, yet it can be accomplished. The tool is called Teshuvah. It is a deeper teaching than what is usually taught about Teshuvah. And I direct you to the recordings in the classes, class number 7 or 8 of the basic class. And then there are advanced classes on the Teshuvah. So I direct you there in the Yeshem website to learn more about this. Yet each year for the last 3 years, I analyze the year ahead as the Kabbalists have taught us to do. The reason they have given us this tool is not to satisfy our curiosity about the future. And I received a request from one of my students who receives the emails that they'd like to know, with all the talk about what's going on in September 13th and the blood moons and the solar eclipses and all of these horrible statements about the future, they would like to know what I have to say about it. And we may have time to discuss this, or we'll discuss it in the second class that starts at 1 o'clock West Coast time. It is to learn about the essence of the energies that we will see during the year, so that we can be prepared to restrict our reactive natures, to use binding by striking. If you know what's coming in the sense of the energy itself, you can prepare in advance what your reaction, what your response will be. And you will also learn how to enhance the positive aspects of this year. There are many people who are waiting for Mashiach, waiting for peace in our day, waiting for the resurrection of the dead, waiting for the rebuilding of the temple. There are many more people who have heard of these prophecies, yet they have not yet happened. Some people teach that they will come with miracles and wonders, similar to the descriptions in the Torah of the Exodus from Egypt. Others teach that they will come in a natural and orderly advancement of human civilization. When teaching will prove correct, which teaching will prove correct, or can they both be true? And we will discuss a way that they both can prove to be true. But to understand this, I'm going to take an aside that is not written. We need to have a sense of what do the prophecies say. We need to have an overall framework to understand what the prophecies, not what I'm saying, but what is written in the 24 books of the Tanakh, what is written in the book of prophets, the book of Judges, books, the book of Samuel, the book of Kings, the book of Isaiah, Ezekiel, etc., the 12 minor prophets. What are these prophecies generally saying? And they describe a period that is referred to as the footsteps of Mashiach. Now, the Chofetz Chaim, who stressed to change our ways about Lashon Hara, who lived in Russia during the communist revolution and through the first beginning years of Stalin, he passed away in, I believe, the early 30s, before Hitler came to power, God forbid. The Chofetz Chaim said that the First World War was the beginning of the three wars associated with the footsteps of Mashiach in the prophecies. And as these prophecies move forward, and as the footsteps of Mashiach move forward, getting closer and closer to the coming of Mashiach, people will experience chaos. They will experience troubles. They will experience pain and suffering. God forbid. Because it's called the birth pangs of Mashiach. Mashiach is being birthed. And as every woman who's given birth to a child knows, there's something called birth, the pain of birthing. And these prophecies essentially describe that the world is moving in two directions. And those two directions will be manifest in every country of the world in the modern sense of a country. In America, you see it in this dichotomy between, I'm going to say, the conservative approach and the more liberal approach, a big government or a smaller government. In Israel, you see it between the secular and the religious. But even within the two groups, there are people connected to both, because the overall change in or transition in the world of the birth pangs is this process whereby people connect to Hashem and people choose to connect somewhere else, usually science, secularism, which has now been defined as a religion, where you think that you're in control, that Hashem is not managing his world. And whichever way you think, the tools that of Kabbalah work, even for someone who does not is an atheist, an agnostic, the tools will work. But the overall frame, briefly and quickly, of all of these prophecies, they indicate that over time in the birth pangs of Mashiach, it gets greater and more painful, more chaos, God forbid. But within that pain and that suffering and that chaos, there are periods where it lessens. And the prophecies actually say, in the Zohar it says, that the sufferings, the pain, and the chaos will become so severe today that you will forget the pain and suffering and chaos of the past. And then tomorrow you will forget what the pain and suffering was today. Each time it gets more severe, it also gets, you forget about the way it was yesterday. unless you maintain your connection to the Creator. And this applies to religious people in Israel. It applies to the Orthodox world, the conservative, the reform, all of the different approaches to Judaism in America. It applies to all religions in all of their forms throughout the 7.5 billion people that live on the earth today. And most of us would say, from the physical effects of this past year, it's been an unusual year. A lot of big fires all over the world, not just in the American Northwest. Lots of floods, lots of earthquakes, lots of terror all over the world. It seems like we're overwhelmed. Things are not easy, not clear. How do I handle this? And that's why this year is a pause that refreshes. And one aspect of that refreshment is you will forget this year's pain because it will be calming. You'll look back and you won't remember it a couple of years from now because it will become more severe. But not in 5776, as you will come to understand why. The word in Hebrew, Tashin Ayin Vav, translates as pay attention. When we add the letter He as the full meaning of the word, 5776, He Tashin Ayin Vav, it can be permuted to be pay attention to the He. Now, that hay can be the physical world, or that hay can be the world that is coming. In the name of Hashem, Yud Hey Vav Hey, there's two hays. Pay attention to the physical world, or pay attention to the spiritual world. But that's really the essence of the conflict, or the choice that we have to make. We like the pleasures of this world. It was given to us, these pleasures, whether it be sex, whether it be food, whether it be sitting in the sun, we like these pleasures of this physical world and many, many others. But that's not why we're here. We're here to use those pleasures as tools to assist us in our spiritual work. And when it says pay attention to the physical world, we're talking about people who are attracted to the pleasures of the physical world. And when we're talking about pay attention to the world that is coming, we're talking about the people who do their spiritual work. And their spiritual work will include receiving the pleasures of this world. The Kabbalists and the modern physics teach the same thing. It will depend on your individual consciousness. Will it happen? What happened is up to you. I can write a summary of the revelations from the tools of Kabbalah about this year ahead. Yet that has never and will never change your consciousness. Only you can do this change. You must hear this and see this and read this for yourself. It is up to you what you will do with the information. The first step is to read or the page or hear the recording. Is an hour and a half worth bringing Mashiach or removing death or peace in the world? I know that you do not think you're spending an hour and a half will change the world. The Kabbalists say it will. They teach it will. Please invest this time. Your world needs you to spend this time. Please. The Kabbalists teach that change of the world comes one person at a time. When we look at the modern world and how it has changed, we realize that the Kabbalists are correct. Change comes about one person at a time. Change comes about when one person decides to change themselves. Yes, big government puts out big laws, and in the case of the warming? In the case of climate change, climate warming, they pass a law, let's have our restrictions, our what we put out into the air, changed. But it depends on each company, and each company's decision is based on let's do this because the law is there, or let's do this because it's the right thing to do. But that change from before and after comes from a decision of one person. For most people, it is simple change. And that change may lead you, and will lead you, to decide to do another action of change. Let us see if that might be true by reading this summary section. When you change yourself, then you can change the whole world, because other people notice the change in you. When you change and other people notice, that makes you a happy person, happier person. They then decide to try to change themselves. Trying to change leads to actual changing. Please try. Just read a little bit more. Listen to a little bit more of the recording. You will change the world and will not even realize that you did it. This year, the energies that appear to me to be the most significant for the world at large is the possibility that the one verse with a gematria of 5776, in all of the Tanakh, there's only one verse, and it will be able to manifest. The pause that refreshes is what it will manifest. This is supported by the verse in the Tanakh that has a gematria of 776. Let us be clear, just because the verses say this is the year that will be a pause, it might happen, it does not mean it will happen. That depends on your consciousness. The consciousness of you and the people around you, the people to manifest the words of the verse. One way is to study this verse in detail, not just in the English or the language that you understand, but in the original Hebrew. By saying this verse repeatedly, the verse will become part of the consciousness of the people saying it. This is one of the tools that Kabbalah teaches. Below you will find the verses written in a transliterated form, so that you will be able to say the verse in the original Hebrew as many times as you wish to do so. Perhaps every day during the year ahead is my wish, my hope. The world has been moving toward two different directions for many years. One direction is the attraction to the material and the physical pleasures of the world. The other direction is to utilize these pleasures to grow toward the spiritual connection to Hashem. This past year of 5775 manifested many negative effects. These effects, weather disruptions, fires in many places in the world, airplane crashes, terror incidents, racial unrest, competing perceptions that something is wrong in the world, and many other calamities seem to be a world gone awry. The various prophecies tell us that this type of order or appearance of disorder is meant to make people turn toward Hashem for help. People have this choice to turn toward Hashem and spirituality or to the modern technological physical world for their answers. The prophecies all indicate that their path will always remain murky and unclear, since this is the need to make an individual free will choice. As such, there are years interspersed with these more difficult years, which are breather years, years where the chaos subsides and people have the opportunity to consider what caused all this chaos. That is the energy of the year 5776. Do not waste this energy by taking a breath and ignoring the chaos of the last year. Use this pause that refreshes to strengthen your connection to Hashem, to realize that these chaotic events are caused by your negative actions in your previous lives or in this life. If you are not helping people, then you are hurting people. Once you recognize this, you can do teshuvah for these actions of a lack of charity, a lack of concern for others, lashon hara, which actually is murder, and sexual misconduct by you, not by others. During the year, each month on our blog, we will address these items in much more detail. Look for these discussions and add your voice to the discussion of change. Make your own changes to bring you to a stronger connection to Hashem during this year of the pause that refreshes. Remember, the year 5777 promises to be a more violent, powerful, fierce response from the goat. Many images throughout the centuries describe the negative satanic system to be a goat. Always know Hashem provides the cure before the disease. 5776, the pause that refreshes, is the cure be prior to the disease of 5777, the year of the goat. Remember, the meaning of the year 5776 reinforces this idea of the free choice decision. Will you pay attention to the climate change and the physical world changes that spiritual people will call for, or will you realize that the efforts to change yourself and connect to Hashem will fix those same climate changes in a much more miraculous way? Pay attention for your own sake, please. If you arrived here looking for a short explanation, right now it might be a good time to scroll to the top of this page and start to learn more of why this is the year that is the pause that refreshes. If you have already read or listened to the recording, please continue to read on. Let us discuss the meaning of a particular year and its energy that is included in the energy of a year and explained by the Kabbalah all of this potential energy for that year. Good things may happen. Negative things may happen. What determines that is the consciousness of the people. Of course, no one wants negative things to happen, yet they sometimes do happen due to the effects of the quantum consciousness of the human species. We must realize that every prophecy that is negative does not have to happen. That means there doesn't have to be an Armageddon war. It doesn't have to be chaotic. Doesn't have to be even revolutionary. Just a simple process of a step-by-step growth that people can get used to. People can change these negative prophecies to happen in a positive way or not happen at all. And how does someone make these changes? The answer is simple. So simple that people do not think it is that easy to do. They think it takes more difficult actions. And they think that they are as one person cannot have a significant impact and change the world. Yet the truth is, it is that simple. Each person can do these actions. These actions will impact the prophecies to happen in a positive way and eliminate the negative prophecies completely. Only you can change the world. When you change yourself, you change the world. What do you need to do? Change yourself. What does this mean? How do I go about changing myself? Decide that it is worth changing yourself a little bit. Know that the universe is waiting for you to change. The sages and the Kabbalists teach that we need to see ourselves as standing on a balance scale where our one simple action will throw the whole world into a positive mode, or chas v'shalom, a negative mode. This is more true today than at any time in the history of the world. Just start saying one verse that has the gematria of 5776. Say it every day and say it every many times a day during the year. Start today as we will in this recording. Say these two verses. Don't limit yourself to the one, but if all you want to do is one, that's a change. You see the bold statement, the revealed aspects? That's where I'm going to be starting to read again. The word, the name of the year, is Tavshin Ayin Vav. This word translates as pay attention. What does this translation mean? One explanation occurs when we add the complete name with the hey. And we can permute this as pay attention to the physical world, or, as I said, pay attention to the spiritual world, the world that is coming. In this word, we also have two other words. The first two letters, Taf and Shin, spell the word weak, W-E-A-K. The second word, Ayin Vav, which can be translated as see heaven. Since Ayin means eye and implies sight, and the Vav represents Zerantin in the Tree of Life, which the Kabbalists tell us is heaven. Thus, the year ahead has the revealed energy of a weak vision of heaven. Except we can strengthen that weak vision. We can make it stronger. Our generation is called a weak generation by the Kabbalists. This means our spiritual level is low. This means we are more in tune to this vision of heaven than earlier generations. We can actually cause heaven to come down to earth, just as did Hashem come down to Mount Sinai to give the Torah. It can happen. It is up to you. This weak vision of heaven will begin to make more sense as one reads further down this page as well. Many people procrastinate or like to be lazy when unimportant things come to mind. Our sages tell us that the physical world is called the world of action. This means that we must do something to actually see a vision of heaven. That thing is to know that we can see it, and also know that we can strengthen the weak vision into a stronger vision. When we permutate the two-letter words in reverse, it is considered revealed and not concealed information. The word weak, when spelled in reverse, becomes shintav, which means both foundation and the backside or the buttocks. When we permutate the word weak vision, it becomes heaven is weak. This implies that there will be the illusion of more negativity in the world. This is something we must resist and keep connected to our certainty that everything is good. It may not appear good to us, but it is good for both us and the world in its process of cleansing itself to receive the Mashiach. To help keep your connection to certainty, we will continue to say the verses connected to 5774 and 5775. What are you going to pay attention to in this year that means pay attention? We'll talk about it more below. It is important to pay attention to having a weak vision of heaven. Use it and strengthen that vision so that you can see more of the removal of the angel of death and more of the creation of peace in the Middle East. What do you think is the most important not yet revealed knowledge of mankind? Kabbalists teach us it is the defeat of death, referred to as Bila HaMavet LaNetzah. This translates directly as swallowing death forever. Are you interested in learning more? When we utilize all five letters, it's pay attention to the hay, whichever hay you decide to pay attention to. But remember, when you pay attention to the world that is coming, you also receive the pleasures of the physical world. Remember, this is the revealed essence of this word of this year. This is generally unusual in that the essence of the word of the year does not usually come from the meaning of the word or the year. There are many more ways to understand this essence. The explanation of the ancient Kabbalistic technique. I'll let you read that section for yourself. The year that will start on September 13th, the night of September 13th, it is the 5776th year since creation. There's one verse in the Torah that has this gematria. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. I'm presenting it here in both the Hebrew and the various translations. The Hebrew word, Rachachanim, Ha-yulimayad willo yachlu, Lehafashait et chol ha'olot, V'chazakom et yaham, Kalelivim, Ad cholot hamilo, chawe ad yitkacho, hachanim ki halevim, yashrei elavav lehat kadosh, mai hachanim. The typical translation, but the priests were too few, so that they could not play all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren, the Levites, did help them till the work was ended and until the priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. To understand more about this verse, we need to have an understanding of the history of the kings of Judah as well as the kings of Israel. The king is Hezekiah, who is a righteous man. It is said in the Talmud, Hezekiah could have been the Mashiach, except that he did not sing to Hashem. His father was an idolatrous king. He made it difficult for the Kohanim and the Leviim to do their work in the temple, as well as it was difficult to support their families, because the king made it difficult for the populace to give their tithing to the proper recipients. The Kohanim and the Leviim, this verse is described that King Hezekiah called to the Kohanim in the first month of his reign to come and do their work again. Here is a commentary from Azamra. that explains it along with a comment from Rashi. And I'm going, because of time considerations, I'm going to let you read this at your own leisure to understand it. But just looking at this discussion, who are the Kohanim and who are the Leviim? What were they? What is their work in this temple? It's service of God. It's being the teachers. It's connection to the Creator. Who blesses the people? The Kohanim. And by blessing the people, Hashem promises that He will bless them. Understand this on this depth. But let's read a little bit more. Because one of the techniques to understand a verse is to look at the verse before, which in this case is verse 33, and the verse after, which is verse 34. Please understand, I know, not that I can prove it to anyone, I know that I was directed to look into this area of the previous verse and the after verse when I first read this verse this year as part of my analysis. Verse 33 says, and the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. The verse after, verse 35, is translated here. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the her service of the house of the Lord was firmly established. Go back and read the translation of verse 34. And you'll see it doesn't follow in the flow of this conversation. There was a king who stopped or made difficult the lives of the Kohanim and the Leviim, and the service in the temple was corrupted because of it. And then it says, the Torah attests in Chronicles 2, in verse 35, that the service was firmly established in the house of the Lord. What is this process of this pause that refreshes? This is this verse. It doesn't follow the flow as one would think it should. And that's, I didn't stop there. I knew that was the meaning of the verse, but I needed to verify it, to learn more. Let's count the number of words, as we said in one of the paragraphs below, where we just read. Because when we count the number of words and the number of letters, this teaches us things. It can confirm that assessment or not. In this case, there were 25 words. 25 is a number that represents partial completion, since it represents five worlds within five worlds. This would indicate a tremendous opportunity to elevate the world through our actions. By connecting to Hashem, by changing ourselves to strengthen our connection to Hashem, to strengthen our certainty, reinforcing the idea of the year being the pause that refreshes, giving us the opportunity to turn to Hashem. As long as we don't get so busy with the physical that we disregard the pain of this year, this would indicate a tremendous opportunity. I read that. This is confirmed by the first and the last letters of the Hebrew word of the verse, Resh and Mem Sofit. It's the Hebrew word Ram, which means to elevate. and there are 108 letters, which we will discuss below. 108 spells two Hebrew words, depending on the order of the letters. Chet Kuf has the meaning and is a shoresh for scrutinize. And Chet Kuf Chet has the meaning of and is also the root of take. The word take is usually considered negative in Kabbalah, yet we can use it as a vaccine to eliminate the greed. And that seems that the greed that it seems to have taken over the Western world. The word scrutinize implies a detailed looking, which initially might seem difficult or judgmental. Yet if we apply the word to ourselves and spend the time of the year 5776 scrutinizing ourselves, it will be a very positive year of change. That choice is yours. What will you do with the energy of the year 5776? Our class has come to an end. I will take questions, so please feel free to unmute yourself by pressing *6 and asking any questions you might have. We will continue our discussion into the second verse, the verse that has a gematria 776 in our 1 o'clock class. Some of this will be similar, but most of it will be new, something I haven't said before. And both of the recordings will be put on the website shortly. Class tomorrow, Monday at 4:30 West Coast time, will be a mini Zohar class. And at 7 p.m. will be a class continuing our teachings of the seven mitzvot of the B'nai Noach. Tuesday at 4:30, a mini Zohar class. And at 7 p.m., an advanced reincarnation class. Wednesday at 4:30, a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, questions and answers. So if you can't think of a question right now, feel free to email it to me and I'll answer it in that session. Or join the session and ask it directly. Or you can text me the question. Or you could call me on the phone, whichever method you prefer. Thursday at 4:30. A mini Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock, a deeper Zohar class. Saturday night at 8 o'clock, there will be a Zohar class for the new energy of Vayelech, the Parasha Vayelech. Next Sunday, there will not be any classes, as we need to prepare for Rosh Hashanah that evening. Monday and Tuesday, there will not be any classes next week for the same reason of Rosh Hashanah. We need to hear the shofar. We need to be concentrating on the shofar. Wednesday night at 4:30, there will be a mini Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock, a questions and answers session. Thursday, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there will be a mini Zohar class at 4:30 and a deeper Zohar class at 7. And then at 8 o'clock Saturday night, which is the first Shabbat, Motzi Shabbat of the new year, we will be teaching the new Zohar, the Zohar of the energy of Chazinu. And that Sunday, a week from today, we will continue back to our normal schedules. I wish you all shalom. I hope to join you in a little bit of time. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom. Shalom.